Thank you for joining us wherever you are. This podcast episode is brought to you by the Old Ways Actual Play Team. This actual play uses the 7th edition Call of Cthulhu tabletop role-playing game rules by Chaosium. This actual play is performed by adults and in an adult setting. While we try very hard to stick to language for all ages, listeners should know that this podcast may include mature themes. All content, including names, places, events, companies, and etc., that may bear resemblance to entities living or dead, is strictly coincidental. My name is Michael Diamond, and for tonight's game, I will be your keeper. Thank you for joining us again on another episode of the Old Ways Podcast. I'm your keeper, Keeper Michael, and we return to Horror on the Orient Express, where we join our investigators in Act 4. And so, we are going to get into it very shortly here. But first, at the top of the show, as we always like to do, we like to thank our listeners and our Patreon supporters. So I will do that now here. And I will also thank our Patreon supporters for their continued support in all of our new ventures. And so let us get to cast introductions. To my right.
Hello, this is Mike, and I play James Robert Fraser, who is very much hoping for a swift and sure release from the Italian prison that he has been held in for the last 5 days. Just call me the Cooler King.
We'll see about that. Very good. To the Cooler King's right.
Hi, this is Rena. I play Lady Elizabeth Fitzroy, and I've got a very interesting journal to pore over, and also a Fraser to rescue, but first things first.
That's right. Absolutely. At the end of the table.
Hello, this is Giles, and I'm playing Simon Griffith, and I'm determined that it's completely safe when I demolish the jail.
I'll take it under advisement, certainly. To Mr. Griffith's right.
Hi, this is Miranda, and I play Maggie Bellinger. And last when we spoke, there was a shocking turn of events that left me smiling and satisfied.
As any episode of Horror on the Orient Express should. And last but most certainly not least.
I'm Martin, and I'm playing Richard Courtney. And Richard is able to provide these services anytime you need them.
Interesting. I shall keep that in mind. So we're going to raise the curtain tonight back on Trieste. It is the morning. The investigators, no matter where they might be, have managed to get a reasonable night's sleep. But when they wake, we are going to ask them to make a POW roll. We're going to do this to see how their sleep actually went.
Got a 16 under 70.
This is a 26 under 75 for Maggie.
18 under 65 for Simon.
That is a 01 under 55.
Ooh, for fantastic. So.
And Richard makes 35 under 80.
So that is a clean sweep then. All right. So you all wake, rested, reasonably relaxed, and ready for the day. Which is wonderful, because you have an awful lot to do. Simon, you've managed to determine, after walking around this jail and the police station, roughly speaking, where you think Fraser's being held at. You're 75% sure you know where he's being held at. You know that if you go to the opposite corner, you just walk the length of the building, go to the opposite corner, find a way to secret some sort of explosive device or, you know, red candlestick. You should be able to effect a reasonable hole within the building and then pop in, get Jim, and get out. The question is when. And so after Lady Elizabeth leaves, having shown you the note, where are you going?
Well, I'm not going to blow anything yet. I'm going to be going with Lady Elizabeth and hopefully a member of the consulate to check in on Fraser and confirm where he is in the jail, hopefully.
Okay. So Lady Elizabeth, you and Simon are going to get over to the consulate at some point. I suppose the question is, after a rather invigorating wake up,
Richard, do you and Maggie join them?
I guess we would.
Yeah, probably.
So the four of you walk to the consulate. And it's not terribly far from your position here in the city. And you have a meeting with the consular's assistant. There's an agent here who takes down essentially all the pertinent details and then tells you that they've already rung ahead to the jail to see if they can get some time with Fraser to make sure that he is okay. It is your understanding that the jail has agreed to this, that the local police will be present, and that only two of you may speak to him.
Well, I suppose that'll be me then.
So the only two people are going to be allowed in the room with you, and it won't be the consul agent, actually. It will end up being a member of the police who will be physically present while you speak to him.
All right. Well, I suppose the three of you will have to find some things to amuse yourselves with.
So one question, did Maggie get the photos back already?
They're supposed to come back at some point today, yes.
Maybe we could pick those up.
Well, Simon's going to stay in the lobby of the station while he's waiting for you to finish, as any good bodyguard slash chauffeur would do.
Certainly. All right, so Richard and Maggie are going to go grab some photos. Hopefully they've been developed. And then Mr. Fraser, not long after what the city of Trieste considers a fair and just breakfast for its prisoners, you are alerted to the fact that you will be having a guest today, that the consulate, the local consulate here, has asked and the police have agreed to a meeting for you to have with someone from your local party.
Oh, very good. Thank you. Grazie.
You also notice when you have breakfast that Milo is gone.
Yes. No, it doesn't entirely surprise me. Oh.
But soon after breakfast, you are taken into... you're handcuffed, taken out of the cell and handcuffed, and then moved into a smaller room where they sit you down, and then a policeman stands next to you while you wait for your party from the consulate to arrive.
I will sit quietly and compose myself.
Lady Elizabeth, for you and for Simon, the jail here is... I mean, you saw the place that they had in the jail that was around in Milan, which was a busy atmosphere. It was reasonably well kept, much bigger city. Trieste's police station here is not the same. So it's a little run down. It's not, in your mind, it's nothing more fancy than, say, a war bunker. I mean, it is a solid building, but there are some obvious signs here that this building probably isn't upkept very well. You know that post-war in Italy, you know that there had been other, we'll say, state or governmental buildings that had gone into disrepair. And that was something that Mussolini decided was going to be top on his list. It seems that this police station just doesn't rate.
And I bet they don't make a very good cup of tea either. Poor Fraser.
Indeed. So Mr. Whiteborn, Garrett Whiteborn is your agent. He opens the door for you. He sort of begins to operate as, not as your assistant, but he opens doors for you, etc. He moves into that role pretty smoothly. And you and he and then Simon enter the police station, a cramped interior police station, one made of brick. So it sort of matches some of the outside environs that you're seeing here, Simon. It looks pretty sturdy. The walls here look fairly thick. You can feel almost the base get absorbed in the space because of how dense the stone is. And then a few minutes later, you and Garrett, the agent, are taken to a hallway back behind the desks where there is a series of doors. They look like interview rooms, maybe. They don't really say anything. There are signs in Italian, but you're not certain exactly what they mean. You get taken to one of these doors. They open it up, and you see Mr. Fraser and a police officer inside this room, and he's handcuffed. And he looks like he spent the past 5 nights in a jail.
Good morning, Mr. Fraser. Slight smile.
Good morning, Your Ladyship. Please excuse my somewhat disheveled appearance. I'm afraid they did not afford me with any shaving equipment.
Well, the rugged look suits you. Oh. Is there a place for me to sit down? Like another chair?
Yeah, there's a small table here with two chairs, and then Garrett stands behind you, and the police officer here sort of leans back against the wall and waits. He does not look amused. Looks bored.
Yes, well, he's staff. He doesn't matter.
I'll look up at the gentleman that's standing beside her ladyship. But what does he look like?
Give me a hard spot hidden roll.
Nope, that's just a normal spot hidden.
Any interest in pushing that roll?
Oh, well, yes, I think I will lean forward and partially come off the seat of the chair, and with my handcuffed hands, I'll make to shake him by the hand, say, I don't believe we've been introduced, Sarah. James Fraser. And as I, if he reaches his hand out to take my hand, I'll see if I can.
He reaches his hand out. Him. He reaches his hand out to take yours, and he does so with a reasonably firm grip, and then adjusts his hat.
Oh, he has a hat on.
He's even got a hat.
Goodness me, hats living. So yes, as I'm shaking him by the hand, I'm going to kind of regard him studiously. No, that is a normal success, but it is not a hard spot.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Okay. So, you go on about your conversation. We'll play the rest of that out in a little bit.
So, but just in general terms, what does he look like? I'm talking to the person that's standing beside, behind Lady Elizabeth, the person that came in with her.
So the gentleman behind Lady Elizabeth steps forward, shakes her hand, and he says that he's Garrett Whiteborn. He's here with the counselor's office. And he has a nice dark suit on. He looks well-kept. And he tells you that he's been working in Trieste for about 5 years and that he's very interested to hear what happened from your perspective.
I don't really know what to tell you. Will you be acting as my solicitor?
I will. Yes.
Splendid. And what is the situation in Trieste? Is the solicitor allowed private conversations with our client?
That depends very much on the attitudes of the police station. Now, for some cases, I have been able to have the run of the room, and I've been able to lay out things with my clients. In some other cases, I've been forced to, he sort of just very slightly gestures to the policeman standing by you, had to deal with some eyes and ears from time to time.
Yes, I quite understand. And I would imagine that there are situations where a certain amount of a friendly persuasion might allow one an opportunity to spend a little private time with one's client in terms of the local constabulary perhaps turning their attention being taken up elsewhere, if you catch my drift, sir.
Undoubtedly. Italy is not the country we once knew it to be. Things are a little different here now. What I will have to do now is I will have to speak with the desk commander and discuss how long I plan to have you out of your cell. There'll be a slight back and forth, but hopefully Once all is well, we'll be able to get to the bottom of what actually happened in the church.
Understood, sir. And I suppose I might begin by saying that nobody has taken a statement from me as yet. I have not been, to my knowledge, charged with anything.
He shakes
his
head.
Certainly not in English.
Well, the papers have charged you, unfortunately, because whatever opinions of what happened at the church have made it to the locals already, including a, well, if you don't mind me saying so, that is a favorable picture of you that they've placed there.
Well, whatever it is that you might be reading in the papers, I would imagine that the majority of it is pure fabrication.
Yes, we are all quite eager to know what actually happened, James.
Of course, Your Ladyship. Yes, and if given the opportunity and a translator, so I might be able to make an accurate account of myself, then I'm more than happy to do so. But as I say, I have spent the last 5-6 days here, and nobody has taken any form of statement or made any form of official charge. That I am aware of, this is certain.
Allow me to speak with the desk commander here and see what I can make of it, if the two of you don't mind.
Of course, of course.
He seems to look a little grim and steps out of the room.
So it's just myself, Her Ladyship, and the policeman now here.
Does the policeman appear to be listening? As in, does it appear like he's understanding what we're saying? Because so far, our interaction with police has been mostly they only speak Italian, but I'm suspicious, as always.
Yeah, you don't get the... I mean, you're welcome to make a spot hidden roll to try to surmise, or moreover, a psychology roll, really, to see if you would get that intent from him.
My psychology is only 38. Oh, but that is a 16. That is a hard success, I think.
30... Yeah. So, yeah, you get the feeling that he's not listening really at all. Either that or he doesn't speak English very well.
Okay. So I will lean in slightly. Well, this is quite the pickle.
Indeed it is, Your Ladyship. Indeed it is. I must apologize for the situation I seem to have got myself into. It was highly inconvenient. I hope that you have been able to make some progress in my absence over the last few days with regard to the items that we are looking into.
Yes, we've made some progress, but that's hardly the largest area of concern at the moment, Mr. Fraser.
Well, it's very kind of you to say so, Your Ladyship. I see this as a minor inconvenience. I'm sure we'll have this all sorted out over the next day or two.
What happened?
Well,
I don't think the one who's in here understands what we're saying, if that helps you at all.
Perhaps, yes. One must remain circumspect in these matters.
Of course.
Though, well, as you know, I left you to take a walk up to the cathedral. Whilst on my way, I stopped off at the gardens where the cenotaph for Mr. Winkelmann has its place. Is there any reaction from the chap when I say the name Winkelmann?
Nope.
I noticed that there was a rather strange engraving on the cenotaph. I had to shelter from the wind for a few moments, while I was in there, I saw this, and it didn't seem to fit. It seemed to be somewhat out of place. I can't help but thinking that there is more to it than meets the eye, but I'm not quite sure what. In any case, I continued up towards the cathedral, where I met a very friendly and helpful priest, a Father Matteus Ricci, I believe his name. Matteo Ricci.
Yes, that was the name in the papers.
Yes, yes. Well, I spoke to him briefly. He explained that this carving on the cenotaph, he was not in favor of it, let's just put it like that. Ungodly depiction as it was. But he did mention that the good professor was In fact, interred in the crypt of the church itself. So he very kindly offered to take me on a wee tour to see it. And we descended. And a very, a very respectful little ornate part of the crypt below the church was laid out for the gentleman. However, whilst I was down there, I heard a noise upstairs. It aroused my suspicions, I have to say, and I headed up the stairs to see what it was. And whilst I was up there, looking around, I heard a noise from below. I returned in haste, because the noise was certainly not a sound of anyone... it was a sound of a man in great distress, let's just say that. And when I was when I arrived down there, it appears that a miscreant of some manner had managed to sneak past me in the dark through the church, make their way to where the poor priest was, and had attacked him in a most brutal and vicious fashion. I attempted to staunch the bleeding, but it was sadly of no avail, and I was unable to save the poor man, at which point I hurried back upstairs. I had previously noticed that there was somebody in the church, and this is a point that I have been trying to make to the police, but they are steadfastly refusing to listen to me. There was a woman in the church. You may have, in fact, even seen her at the point where I was arrested, who I called to alert the police to the situation. When I returned with the father's body into the nave of the cathedral, the police had already arrived, and, you know the rest. The perpetrator must have eluded me in the dark. I only caught the merest glimpse of him. And I kind of look at you while I'm saying that, as if to say, there's more here, but I'm not going to say it out loud.
I think I can piece that together with the note I got this morning. So...
There's a knock at the door. After a moment, it opens, and Garrett comes back in. All right, I've got a little bit more information that should help. Well, help understand. They have sent for a high police commissioner to deal with you. And the local church here complained about what happened, essentially. Mm-hmm. They complained to religious authorities about it, and so now the police are whipping themselves into a frenzy about what's going on.
Are they at all interested in the truth? Or are they merely wishing to pin the blame for the death of this this priest on the most likely suspect? To wit, myself.
I believe the latter is the situation that we're in. I believe they want to see someone pay a price for what has happened. Mm.
Of course. And
I'm going to telegram our offices in London and the larger office in Milan. I'm going to see what I can do to keep it from getting too far downhill.
I was saying to her ladyship a moment ago, there was another person in the church at the time who was witness to at least part of the situation. She tried to tell the police something of what had happened when they arrested me, but they would not listen to her. I don't want to cause this poor woman any trouble, but if you believe that her word will be taken in any way in my defense, then I would very much appreciate it if you would look into this.
Absolutely, and right away. We'll do everything we can. If you'll excuse me again, steps back out.
Well, I rather was afraid of that.
The police officer nearby lights a cigarette.
There isn't really very much more to tell, Your Ladyship, other than whoever performed this vile act was clearly very strong, very powerful person. The wound was deep. Much stronger than one might imagine such a person to be if one were to see them. I did not get a good look myself, and a kind of sidelong glance. But they were not, well, let's just say the frame of the person in question did not appear to be able to have the strength to carry out such an act.
Mr. Fraser, make me a spot hidden roll.
That's a 09. That's an extreme.
The tobacco in this room smells very familiar.
Yeah. I'll turn slightly and say, excuse me. I wonder if I might be permitted a cigarette. I'll make the symbol, make a kind of hand gesture.
The policeman nods and extends a pack of cigarettes to you. He easily sort of thumbs one out so you can grab it.
Does the person I'm looking at have a familial resemblance to the man that I met in the cell?
Oh, yeah. You could make me a spot hidden roll for that. Might be a little difficult.
Okay. Are we talking about maybe a hard success?
Perhaps.
No, that is not a hard success. That is just on a normal success. I will let my assumptions just sit, I think.
I will make it a hard success with the hand of fate.
Oh, goodness me.
Because I can do
that. Thank you very much indeed.
Not only is it a familial resemblance, given your familiarity with certain aspects of even some of the items that her ladyship uses occasionally for makeup applications, this gentleman is perhaps in a bit of a disguise.
Oh, well, I'll just look at him. And I'll kind of nod. Your ladyship, might I introduce a gentleman by the name of... Well, I'm sorry, I don't know your surname, Milo.
Dvorak, he pronounces with a really deep sound.
Ah, like the composer.
He nods and tips his hat to you. He doesn't take it off, but he says, James, I think we need to get you out of here.
Yes, I was... rather under the same impression. Do I take it you're the author of the note slipped under my door this morning, Mr. Dvorak?
No, actually, James is the author. I was just the messenger.
Well.
My English is not very good.
You have my thanks, Mr. Dvorak, but I rather think we need to extricate Mr. Fraser from this situation as quickly as possible.
It can't be done in the moment here, but it has to be done before this police commissioner gets here, because if they're sending someone from Milan or from Rome, you are done for.
I understand.
I had rather the same feeling.
My one concern is that we have unfinished business here in Trieste, very important business.
And, Mr. Fraser, allow those of us who are not in the current life or death situation to take care of the other unfinished business and also get you out of here at the same time.
Well, I don't want to.
I know you need to manage things, and I know you are quite good at it, and I know you like to be putting your fingers in all the pies, so to speak. However, we can, I assure you, manage some things without you.
Yes, no, I understand that, Your Ladyship. You're quite right, but that's not quite what I was meaning. If I were to disappear from this cell whilst there is a police commissioner on their way, there would be questions asked. There would be people out looking for me. There would be interrogations made of yourselves, and it would impede you in the business that you have.
Mr. Fraser, I do have a brain.
I don't want to draw more attention upon you.
We will attempt to resolve what needs to be done before spiriting you away. So we can all hop on a train, as Miss Bellinger might say, and be out of here before such things occur.
Yes. Yes. If possible, then yes. I do apologize for bringing this whole situation upon you. If I could have avoided it, I should not have gone off on my own to the cathedral. I know we discussed this before. And
you see a slight fond smile on Lady E's face. It's not a normal sort of smile for her, but she's going to break character slightly. break protocol. And she's going to lean forward and just put a hand on top of yours. James, don't worry. All right. You've done quite a good job of looking after me for a while. I'll do my best to take care of you now. Don't trouble yourself too much. And then I'm going to go back into my proper seating position, as if that moment never happened.
Milo, how long do you think it'll be before this commissioner arrives? Do you think we have 24 hours?
Probably just about that. I can make some suggestions, though. If you are able to... He looks towards you, Lady Elizabeth. If you have the ability to... You should change hotels. Now.
Excellent suggestion.
We should find someone else for you to stay. A hotel is the first place they will go. And the next place they will go will be the train station. Which means you must, at least for some time after, you must avoid the train station. They will look to find any way they can. You might use the roads, etc. Do you have anyone in city that you know where you could stay at their house?
I've only met one person, and I'm not going to impose on that particular person since it was a business acquaintance. But I will speak to my colleagues and see what we can do.
It is possible that Mr. Griffith might have a contact in the city. I don't know whether that is the case or not, but it may be an avenue worth investigating.
All right. What I will do, he scribbles down an address. I stay here sometimes. Get me a message there. Tell me what the plan is, and I'll do my best to make sure that I can be a part of whatever needs to happen. I have some ways, some methods, but getting you out of that cell will include something else. It'll have to. I can't take you out of the front
door. We have some options. Slight smile.
Good.
I do want to know, Mr. Vorak, if you don't mind me asking. It's quite rude of me, but why?
I'll tell you why. I have watched. I have seen people in James's position before. I have watched them walk into this place and never walk out again. But it's more than that. Between the time I heard about this story, you must understand, I knew Father Risi. He baptized me.
I'm so sorry.
When the paper said that he had been brutally murdered, I heard that he had been stabbed. And then I asked my brother, who, he points out the door, works just behind the desk there. There were no stab wounds on his body, not from a knife. And so I knew immediately it was a lie. And so James is innocent. And I'm not going to let him die.
I don't know how to thank you, Mother.
Thank you.
Well, I know how you can thank me. We'll get to that later.
Oh, my.
Well, yes.
So, whatever you have planned to assist him with getting out, and keep me in contact. I'll do what I can to help. For now, you must act as a concerned friend. Keep that face on. They'll want to see it.
Yes, well, it's quite genuine, I can assure you.
He adjusts his hat and even a little bit of his, what seems to be some sort of false nose, and steps out the door. So we will move camera to Miss Bellinger and the professor, who are arrived at a photographer, at a chemist, actually, not a photographer's place, because they're chemists in this era. And you have a package of pictures. So... these are pictures that were taken in of a very specific bridge and things on the other side of a very specific bridge in the water, yes?
Amongst other things, yes.
Okay, so why don't you detail for us the pictures that you believe are here, which are not the bridge?
Probably a lot of landscape shots for my book and photos of... probably Richard that Maggie has taken around town just at various different stops, possibly when we went to go get gelato at one point. And it's been a while since I've had any photographs developed.
It is. So you have a ton of wonderful landscape mm-hmm. shots. You have a ton of pictures of what's eerie about it for you, Maggie, is that you have a ton of pictures of Venice before the plague arrives. And you have to mentally put yourself in a place of looking at photos of an area that was eventually overcome by a disaster where bodies were burning in the streets. And you walked and looked at some of these places before that happened. And yeah. then you had to walk through it happening. And one of the biggest mental stressors for you, the picture that is difficult, is San Marcos Square, which you suddenly remember was filled with water at one point, and that you were instructing people to do things to each other and to themselves in your name. And you get a flood of these really powerful mental images. And you're going to roll sanity for me.
Okay. Perfectly sane, Miranda and Maggie. That's a fail. That's 81 over 47.
Okay. So I'm going to take a point of sanity from you in this regard. And I am going to induce a temporary manic state in you where you feel sort of that same rush of emotions, not the total complete Godhead sort of perspective, but you get a little manic while looking mm-hmm. at these photos, and you sort of begin mm-hmm. sifting through the photos because you have an awful lot of them, and what you really want are the tasty bits. Now you want to relive all those same sort of things. And where's the bridge? And where's the bridge? And where's the bridge? And you get through the entire pack and you get to the bridge photo and you take it out and you look at it. And Richard, you're there standing right next to her, seeing her begin to flutter through these pictures. And you can feel the temperature in the room go up. Like you get warm standing next to her.
Should we sit down and maybe take a coffee?
Is one second, Richard. I'm trying to find the photo I'm looking for.
What is it?
The bridge one.
Are you sure that's a good idea? That seemed to be where everything started to fall apart somewhat.
That's the point of this, Richard, isn't it? That's the point of me taking the pictures, is so that I can see them with my eyes again. Sometimes our eyes deceive us, but a picture won't lie.
Well, I think we should go somewhere else and get out of this chemist's at least. And be careful. We should be careful.
I would imagine Richard could kind of like pull/guide Maggie out, but Maggie's still going to be looking at the photos and back and forth between several of them probably.
Yeah, you flip back and forth between like the picture before the bridge and then the bridge itself and then looking down into the water, and you'd swear it's there. You'd swear the eyes are there. You can see the lines, the ripples in the water, but your brain can't seem to focus on it, and you get almost a headache from trying to see the creature that you know you already saw.
If Richard has the opportunity, the moment an innocuous photo comes up, maybe of a, I don't know, Richard eating a gelato or something, Richard will sort of focus on, look, that's where we met that terrible man. Do you remember him? He was, I don't know, very creepy and sort of in a weirdly sort of forceful kind of way. Do you remember?
Yes, Richard, he was dreadful, but I'm trying to find something wonderful here. Richard, I don't understand. It's here. Why is it just out of my reach?
Nothing was wonderful in Venice. It was a terrible place. It smelt and there were people burning and I have no idea what was in the river.
Well, look with me, Richard. Look, you can have me look in the picture too to see if we have to find it.
No, I didn't mean that. I meant the black stuff, the horrible some chemical spillage or whatever it was.
So, Richard, if you're looking over these photos too, her picture that you asked her to take of the water, it doesn't look like it developed correctly.
Ooh. There's definitely no guilt there on Richard's part. None at all.
No. Of course not.
Mm.
Maggie's getting very frustrated by it, though.
Yeah, you can tell. She keeps going back to it.
I think it's... Look, maybe that one caught a little bit of extra light. It seems to be... I don't know. Developed wrongly or something.
The chemist did a terrible job. We have to go... He must fix it. He has to redo it. Or perhaps we could go to another one. We could find another chemist, Richard. Someone else has to develop this.
I'm afraid it doesn't work like that. The chemical processes on the original negatives when performed are very much a one-way thing. And I'm afraid if they've ruined the negatives, then there's no going back. I mean, I thought I had points in chemistry, but apparently I don't.
Yep, sadly you do not. And so you are left... Sadly, Maggie, you are left wanting.
Yeah. Maggie is getting... Maggie gets more emotional at this frustration.
I think we should find a gelato. It was... Yes.
Maggie starts to tear up a bit.
Oh, come on. Richard put his arm around her. I'm sure there'll be other opportunities for other photos, and I'm sure you'll manage to find something that's strange and unique.
It seems like all we do is find things that are strange and unique.
Well, yes, I mean, you had a good photo of the ferry, didn't you? And I'm sure there'll be more opportunities.
So after the photos are recovered... and a gelato is found. You seem to be able to soothe your emotions, Maggie, with chocolate and sweets. That seems to work pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
It takes the bite out of the unfortunateness of what's occurred with your photography. But you know that you will get that Richard's right. You will get more opportunities, and that will help. But you know what you saw in the water, and that's what's important. So after your trips, we'll say that the group, as long as there's no objections, the group reconvenes, minus Fraser, to the hotel. So for you, Lady Elizabeth, you would lose sight of Milo after he leaves the room. You do not see him amongst the people in the office, and Garrett tells you that he'll be in contact with you at the hotel as soon as possible.
I thank him for his assistance.
Of course, he is happy to... he's also happy to send any other word that you might find necessary, so...
Yes, I'm going to let my brother know we're in Italy at this point.
Yeah, he's not forward enough to suggest... who he would give word to directly, but he just lets you know that he would be happy to write something official if you feel that it is necessary.
Just in case. I mean, Raymond's a bit of an idiot, I think to myself, but, you know, he's also got a title, which helps quite a bit in a lot of things, just in case we need it.
It's like all the other idiot men with titles.
Yes, but he's a sweet idiot, so it's okay.
So, of the confab at the hotel over, we'll say, lunch and or... dinner, depending on timing, is fine with me. We'll say lunch, because I think that you all probably have something you want to do this evening, I would imagine. So you're together again then.
Was your visit to Fraser fruitful? How is he doing?
Well, he's all right, as far as one can be in a jail cell, I suppose. But, let's just say we need to extricate him from his current circumstances as quickly as possible. Making eye contact with Griffith there. I don't believe they intend to actually solve the murder. They're more looking for... What's your charming gangster term in America. Patsy?
A scapegoat.
I was thinking something a little more colorful, but that will work as well. So, we need to resolve this situation as quickly as possible, and we're not going to be able to stay here much longer in this hotel.
Well, I have some ideas if y'all want to hear them.
Are they the sort of ideas we should be having in a private conversation?
Absolutely.
Wonderful. So not in the lunchroom, then?
No. No, I wouldn't.
Well, then we shall have that discussion after we finish. Did the two of you learn anything interesting?
So chemists around here are horrible. Their jobs?
Yes. Appears to be a little bit of a mix-up with the photos, but never mind.
We found a lovely gelato shop, though, afterwards.
Yes, we did. And Maggie had a rather splendid chocolate ice cream.
Well, I'm glad some of us were having a good morning.
Yes, Richard feels slightly guilty.
Very well. Shall we go have a discussion about certain things?
Yes.
Of course, Lady E.
So I'll wait for the gentleman to lead the way, because I'm not taking them back to my room. That's my safe space.
Clearly, that would be completely over the line. It would be...
Absolutely.
It should really either be Simon or the professor's room. It should not be either of the ladies' room. That's...
No, can't allow single men who aren't staff into single women's rooms.
That's why I go see Richard, his room.
So you collect, I suppose, all then in, we'll say Simon's room, just because we know that he has all the fun toys. Well, maybe not all of them, but most of them.
Richard's probably not keen on anyone else seeing his toys.
So I have a way of opening up that police station. Now, it's dangerous, Lady E. Actually, Mike, from my being in the lobby... And did I see Fraser led to the room and back?
No, he would have been led to the room before you arrived.
What about leading back?
Yes, you would have seen him led out of the room.
Okay, would that give me an idea of where he might be in the station then? Or at least where he's not?
It would definitely give you an idea of where he is not, which is just as powerful.
Okay. All right, I have a way of bringing down part of the wall. It could hurt people inside. Is there anyone we do not want to hurt?
Other than Mr. Fraser?
Absolutely.
Are you sure? How is the building constructed? I mean, you might collapse the whole thing if it's in a poor state of repair.
Professor, this is my department, not yours.
I have more than a passing interest in physics.
And I have a knowledge of explosives and mining. If you want to write up some charts, feel free. Now, my idea here is we have two options. I can blow a hole in it out into the street, or I could see about blowing a hole from the sewer up through their bathroom. The other thing is, as soon as we do this, we're going to have to run. Are we all done here in Trieste? We still have a coin to find, don't we?
Yes, but Mr. Griffith, our contact suggested that we not leave immediately. As the black shirts will be watching the train station right away.
What did your contact say? I don't think you relayed everything to us.
The relevant details. But we may need to find an alternative way out of the city. And we should not attempt to do so right away. They'll be expecting it.
Wait, have we forgotten that we're looking for a body part here?
Miss Bellinger.
What?
No one has forgotten your body parts.
Well, we can't just leave. We're on an important mission, and Mr. Fraser wouldn't want us to forget that.
Miss Bellinger, did I not just say that we shouldn't leave right away?
Well, speaking of, Miss Maggie, have you felt anything with any of these body parts?
I think I have been referred to a body part dowsing rod before, though, publicly, so...
Especially fake body parts and especially fake asses.
Especially rods.
Well, we at least have a coin or an amulet to find, correct?
At least.
There could be For all I know, there is one of these pieces here in the city, or there could be a scroll in the city. Have we talked about any scrolls?
Only occasionally.
So the key thing is we need to get Fraser out, but then we need to secrete him somewhere where he cannot be found. Correct?
That would be advisable, but also we're known to be part of his group, and we don't want to be drawing attention to ourselves either once we break him out, because they'll come speak to us first.
Absolutely.
And I don't know about you, but I've had quite enough experience in an Italian jail today. I don't wish to see any further of it.
Right, Lady E. I hear you. I agree. Because we cannot disappear once he is gone. We have to be available to be questioned. But we also have to not know what happened. Right?
I would rather not be available for questioning at all, personally.
Well, that's what you have your solicitor for. But what I'm saying is we can't go into hiding either. Especially if we need to find stuff in the city.
Oh, we certainly can. In fact, that's what our contact advised.
And we have 24 hours to do this?
More or less.
That's cutting it kind of close. Well, if he's still there, a place where we could possibly secrete Fraser, and that would be with Mr. Anton. What do you think about that, Miss Maggie?
Yes, I doubt that anyone would look for him there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, I suppose that's a possibility. We could also just all descend like a plague on the good doctor, I suppose.
I'm not sure we want to do that. If you'll hear me out, Lady, on this. So we are going to still be mobile in the city, right? You know, granted, we don't want to be caught. We don't want to be found. We don't want to be talked to per you and your contact. But on the other hand, we're not going to be under a manhunt, per se, for killing anybody, right? And we're going to be the ones sneaking around the city and potentially getting caught while we're trying to find stuff. We might want to be in a different location than Fraser is all I'm saying. Or is this, you think I'm overthinking this one?
I think perhaps you might be overthinking, Mr. Griffith. Especially since there's no reason for them to connect this Dr. Anton or whatever it is with Fraser or the rest of us.
Okay.
There's nothing official. And it seems to me it would be easier to keep in contact if we're all in the same location. You can always disappear into some caves if you have to.
Mm-hmm.
They're fairly close.
This time I'll have Mr. Thompson.
Quite. We should probably also retrieve Mr. Thompson's little brother at some point in this undertaking. But let's keep things simple, shall we?
I am a little concerned that the gentlemen with the fezzes that have been giving us the unwanted attention may also have a part to play here. If we're not careful.
Well, that gives us one other option.
I'm just saying we need to be very careful. Two groups after us is not a good prospect.
It's a shame we don't have one of those red fezzes. Be great to leave it by the scene after we blow out Fraser and pin the blame on them.
Oh, yes, quite.
Well, let us begin working out the details, deciding who should do what, I suppose. We should probably also check with this Anton to make sure he's amenable. If he's still alive, we do tend to leave quite a bit of a trail of bodies in our wake, unfortunately.
Well, Dr. Anton was interested in money before, is that not right, Professor?
Absolutely.
Well, we've got some, yes.
I'm not entirely sure. He may be traveling. He was not of Italian descent, was he?
Well, if he was traveling, then his place might still be standing there, though, right?
Ah, yes. Yes.
Quite. Either way.
All right. So, Professor, can you determine... I have an idea of going into the sewer, if it's big enough, and blasting a small hole through his toilet to have him drop down in the sewer and we make it out to the seafront. Because the sewer is going to flow down to the sea.
I think we need to be perfectly careful that he's not on the toilet when you blow it.
What about your contact? Could your contact pass a message to him, Lady E?
Well, he said to send him a message about more or less what the plan is so he can make sure to be of assistance. So I think we can arrange something.
All right, let's plan on that then. I'll go spy out the sewers down by the waterfront. Professor, you're worried about you think that me using a controlled explosive on the sewer would be fine, or are you still worried about the integrity of the building?
I've noticed some of these Italian buildings, certainly the newer ones, don't seem to have been constructed in a particularly robust manner. I don't know. I have no idea about the foundations. But,
can I make a geology roll on the foundations, Mike? Are they stone, from what I can see?
Certainly. Go ahead and give me a roll.
That is a 10 under 56.
Oh, that is a extreme success then, yeah? 10 under 56, yep. So, yeah, you figure that a couple of sticks of properly placed dynamite when you're down there in the sewers would collapse probably the back half of the building and maybe part of the street. And if it done right and you're a little lucky, Fraser might be able to literally walk out of the jail.
Well, but could he also drop into the sewer? My only concern is, this is Simon thinking, that if he walks out, will there be witnesses? Or if he drops into the sewer, he'll just be missing, right?
There's all sorts of potential variables there, right? So given the fact that you would likely dynamite the jail at night, there probably won't be a ton of people in the middle of the Borowind in Trieste walking around at night. So if you have a couple of sticks of dynamite and some torches, you might be able to just blow it and go.
Okay. And you're saying blow it from the outside or blowing it from the sewer?
I think blowing it from the sewer is probably your best bet. I mean, you could start blowing it from the outside, but I think getting in there and getting it set right is probably going to give you your best bang for your buck.
Yeah, and this is me with my mining experience in a sewer, which is similar to a mine shaft. All right. So, Lady E, if we blow this at night, I do it from the sewer. Have Miss Maggie, do you think you could collect Mr. Fraser?
I don't see why not.
Lady E, one, should not be near an explosion like this. Two, unfortunately doesn't walk very fast. No offense, ma'am.
None taken. It's merely a statement of fact. I tap my cane on the floor.
Three, the professor there is not exactly the most quick to action, as well as not being high on James' list right now. So I think Miss Maggie would be the best choice to lead him to where we need him to go. Is that all fair to everyone?
Yes, quite.
Sounds fair to me.
And once we have Mr. Fraser, is there anything else we need to worry about, or do we want to just focus on that for the moment?
Let's focus on that for the moment.
All right, then.
Okay, so you're going to spin into action then this evening, yes?
Yep.
So, in effect, you are going to gather supplies, head down towards these sewer grates, and then sneak along through the sewers to get to the police station to set these charges.
This is correct. And who's going to go see if Anton's there or go check out his house?
I would imagine the professor would be doing that. And if that's the case, then who is going to deliver word to Milo about what is happening?
Well, he gave me the address and told me to send him a message, so.
Okay, fair enough. So we'll say that you're going to send a message. I guess the question would be, Lady Elizabeth, send or deliver?
Deliver. But I try to do the kind of not through an official postal delivery or anything.
Where are you sticking this letter then?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's, God, sorry, my brain's not working. Taxis, right?
Yes, there are taxis.
So I can take a taxi to somewhere in the area that's not right directly where he told me to go.
Right.
And then deliver it that way.
Okay. So you write out the rough idea of what's happening, basically, that there's going to be a snatch and grab of your personal assistant. And after that, you are going to be egressing to a house on the outskirts of town, a couple of miles away, but not using the train to get there.
More or less, yes.
So you deliver the message and you sort of slip it through, not a mail slot, but there's a, you know, a place where you could easily lay it, and you're walking away to get to another cab so you can go. And you hear the Bora wind pick up, and I need you to make me a strength roll.
I really don't like Trieste.
Yeah, Italy's been rough for everybody in more than one way.
Yes. Strength is my lowest stat, so here we go. But that's a 09 under 35.
You grab for a railing and hang on. It's really quite something. You're very lucky that there is a rope nearby that you can hang on to while you wait for a taxi. So during this time then, Miss Bellinger, your role will be to pluck Fraser from said jail cell. And Professor, you go and check out Anton's house. Anton is not there. And from everything that you can see, the fireplace is cold. And so it looks like your friend Anton is not home. But that does leave his home open and available. All right. So that leaves us down to Simon, who will dip below the road line and head into the sewers and begin placing his charges. So why don't you give me just a little bit of narration on what you'll be doing when you get down there, and then how you'll be setting it off.
Well, the way I'm doing it is I'm pacing down to the waterfront and I'm counting my steps. Mm-hmm. And then when I go into the sewer, I'm hoping it's big enough, since this is a main thoroughfare, that at least I can walk through it crouched down like they do in many big cities. Even if I, either at full height or, you know, walking at a crouch. Is this correct?
Yeah, it's going to be at a crouch for sure.
Okay, but it is big enough that I can use my feet and not crawl.
Yeah, you don't have to crawl. You sort of waddle.
Okay. And I'm going to, well, since we're at the hotel before we start, I'm going to change into my crappiest clothes, because I'm going to probably want to skin out of them soon and toss them away or burn them.
You do have the clothes that you were shot in.
Fair. Okay. And then I'm going to go back up the sewer, counting my steps again, so I know pretty much where I am, you know, with my paces. I'm going to tie the two sticks together, and we don't really have tape at this point, but I am going to either use a form of glue if I'm able to acquire some, or...
You'd probably just use twine, I imagine, if you're going to strap it to something.
Okay. Yeah, well, I'll strap it to a support there. And I'm going to also use twine for the fuse, or not for the fuse, but twine to hold the fuse out of the water, so I can have enough time to waddle far enough away and be ready for big bada boom.
Indeed. So at this point, Miss Bellinger, you are in position and ready.
Yep.
Give me a spot hidden roll.
Okay. 38 under 48.
So you identify, based on some of the things that you can see, which cell you think or where you think he is at, mm-hmm. based on the light. There is a slight light you can see down at these very small windows.
Michael.
Yes, sir.
Could I possibly throw something through the window? I don't know if I maybe have a scrap of material that I could tie a little knot in or something, and just try and throw it out so it lands on the ground outside the window, so that there might be a possibility of someone who is looking around to spot that and maybe draw a conclusion there.
You know that Milo afforded you a blanket, which you could probably take a piece of fabric from.
I think he also gave me a packet of cigarettes, didn't he?
He gave you a pillow, and inside that pillowcase, there is a pack of cigarettes.
Well, when we were in the interview room, and yeah. I asked him for a cigarette, I think, did you say he gave me a packet of cigarettes?
He pushed one of the cigarettes up to you. He pushed it out of the pack so you could...
Oh, I see.
So you don't have a pack of cigarettes, but you have a pillowcase, a pillow, and a blanket.
I'll maybe have a cigarette stub or something like that, or something anyway that I can just kind of, which will look maybe a little incongruous outside the window of the building.
Yeah, that seems...
Give them an idea of roughly where I am.
Easy enough for you with a successful spot hidden roll to pick up on, Maggie, so...
Yep.
But yeah, it's the only window in here that has anything sticking out of it.
Yep. I will place myself a safe distance away from any explosions that may or may not be happening, plug my ears, hunker down, and wait for it to all go off.
Of course, you begin to hunker down, as is right. Okay, so that brings us to the main event. And to Mr. Griffith, why don't you give me a demolitions roll?
And that is a 20.
Demolition skill is 30, so that is a success. Very good. That is very beneficial for most people involved. I wouldn't say all involved, because of course there's going to be somebody, who is not going to benefit from this demolition. But that's okay. So, if memory serves correctly, dynamite's 4d10.
So that would be 8d10 since it's two sticks.
Yep. So you meet the regular difficulty to place a explosive device.
Dynamite stick, 4d10, and a radius of 3 yards.
All right. So what I want you to do is I want you to roll 4d10, but roll it twice. It's not together. Different ends of the building. And I want you to tell me what the first roll and what the second roll gives you.
And this is me you want to roll?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Who wouldn't want you want to roll your own dynamite damage, right?
27 on the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And 19 on the other one.
All right. So when the time comes, there is two successive explosions that go off. And even though you know they're coming, Maggie, you are not prepared for the ground to ripple underneath your feet, which is what it does. And several of the bricks and the laid stones of the road fire into the air. And I'm not talking about little stones. I'm talking about, you know, sections that are one by one. They're very large. And then there is a really what can only be described in my mind as a blossom of red and yellow, and then white from all the stone that comes out. So I would like our very own James Robert Fraser to make a constitution roll, because while you are not at the section of the building being blown up, there is a massive force explosion going on, and it could deafen you.
Is this on the back wall of one of the cells across on the other side of the corridor from me or something like that? Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Constitution roll. Okay. I've got a pretty decent constitution. So that is a 23 under 85.
That is a hard success. And so when it goes off, you reflexively, because of the war, move away and turn your head and cover your ear. You get very close to having a very difficult series of thoughts run through your head after being very close to an explosion, because it's a little too much.
I know more than one person for whom this kind of explosion would have been a extremely traumatic experience. And I dare say there's you know, little bits of stone flying across, maybe through the bars, and dust and smoke everywhere. So I'll put a sheet across my mouth to try and...
There's coughing from the rest of the jail and the police section. There's shouting, obviously. But for you, Miss Bellinger, there is now an enormous hole that you can go through.
I head that way. I need to snag Mr. Fraser.
You head in and stumble down from street level into this jail portion, and you can hear through the smoke and through the churn of just all of the additional sounds that are coming to bear here, you can hear someone entering the space, Fraser. You can hear the footsteps on bricks.
Fraser, are you in here?
Miss Bellinger, yes, I'm here. I'm over here.
Yes, come. We have to get you out of here.
I need to get this cell open. Have you brought something to open it with? A crowbar or something?
No. Are there keys around? Can I bash it with a rock or?
I don't know. They'll have keys in the station, but.
I'll look around for something that I can snag to try to either bash a lock or pry something open.
You easily find several rocks, several bricks.
I commence bashing.
Here, pass one through the bars to me as well. I'll try from this side.
I will also pass one to Mr. Fraser.
Okay. So why don't you both make me collective strength rolls?
Okay, I shall.
That was a 60 over 35.
You're bashing.
And that is 09 under 60.
So you give it a few taps, Miss Bellinger, and with just a single precise yet accurate and heavy strike, you hear a metal pang from inside this cell, and the iron bars open wide.
Out staggers James Robert Fraser.
Well, skills like that, Fraser. I don't know why we let Richard lockpick anything. We have to get you out of here. We have to go to Anton's house.
Anton? Hi. Right. All right. Lead away.
So, the investigators, each one by one, then begin picking their way back towards Anton's residence. It takes a little while. The center of the city, the core of Trieste now, is in complete upheaval. Whether it be medical personnel or police personnel, the streets begin to swarm, even with the wind. As heavy as it is, the streets begin to swarm with activity. Miss Bellinger and Mr. Fraser slip into the night and away. For Mr. Griffith, coming out of the sewers blocks away, while it might be a somewhat stinky extrication from the situation, it does afford you the ability to walk into the darkness with no one the wiser as to what has happened. And the group of investigators reconvene later that night at the house of an old friend of the professor. And Professor, you're able there to greet them as they enter. And so the group is finally reunited in front of a, I would imagine, roaring fireplace.
Richard will also have a look around and see if he can find any of Anton's wonderful grappa as well.
There is grappa here as well. And so your friend has blessed you with the remaining in his bottle.
Richard will, of course, leave some sort of note by way of compensation.
So you reconvene at the house. Your things from the hotel have been transported here. That seems to have been taken care of by the professor. And the team will have an awful lot to think about. But it will, at the very least, be able to think about it together when we join them for the next episode of Horror on the Orient Express. So thank you, and good night.